This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Throw. No stick for Poulin. Slicing through. Poulin got it. Ovechkin scores!
897. That's where he ends 2024-2025, the all-time leading goal scorer. Two goals since the record setter against the Islanders about 10 days, 11 days ago. And he finishes with 897, so next year we'll get the beginning of the season to be about the chase for 900. Joining us right now is Tariq El-Bashir. Tariq's done a phenomenal job covering our hockey team in this town for a long time. He does it now as the insider for Monumental Sportsnet. You can follow Tariq on X, on Twitter, at Tariq underscore El Bashir. So will we start next year with the chase for 900? Will that be a big deal?
Well, the man said a couple of days ago that he's not retiring.
Right.
Not that anyone expected that. He's got another year on his contract, so absolutely. It was funny. I was talking to some other members of the media last night on a text thread, and we were all taking guesses at where he might finish his NHL career, and we're all pretty bullish. We were all saying 925, 930, 935. Look, Alex, at 39 and a half years old, scored 43 goals this season, and he missed 16 with a broken leg. He's got a lot of hockey left in him, and he's as competitive as anyone I've ever met. I got to imagine that now he's broken Gretzky's record, he wants to put just enough space between him and anyone else, so you know the Austin Matthews and Leon Draisaitls of the world don't ever have a chance of catching him.
If he had played the entire season, would he have led the league? I did not do the math. I think he finished 8 goals behind Draisaitl for the overall goal scoring. I think he may have ended up leading the league in goals, right?
Yeah, Kevin, I think you're right. That was another part of our discussion last night. If he didn't miss those 16 games, because remember those 16 games came at a time where he was scoring –
yeah,
at an incredible clip, at probably the best clip of his entire career, 20 years in. He scored goals 14 and 15 in that game and then suffered the broken leg. So, like, he was on his way to a hat trick in that game at Utah. So, I absolutely think he would have led the league in scoring. And it really is amazing. And I don't know if you were able to catch last night's game, but watching Sidney Crosby score and then watch Alex Ovechkin respond with a goal a little bit later. I mean, how lucky are we for 20 years here in D.C. to have watched the greatest goal scorer of all time, but also his primary nemesis has also been at just an equally high level over these 20 years. When I saw that last night, I was like, I cannot believe we are still two decades in watching these guys trade goals. Unbelievable.
You know what's really interesting about that? And I didn't know this until recently because I don't follow the sport like you do. But this is the third straight year Pittsburgh has missed the playoffs altogether. Yeah. What's wrong with their organization?
Yeah, they doubled down on veterans and at a time where they should have been doing what the Capitals were doing, which was, and I know it's easy to say this in retrospect, but you need youth, you need young blood, you need young legs, you need speed, you need hunger, you need desire. You have to have a good mix of young players who are hungry and want to prove themselves, and veteran guys who have been there and they know what it looks like and how to get there, and they can show the young guys the way. And they don't have a great mix. They skew way too veteran and don't have enough on the young high-end talent side. And you know, their general manager has made some bad signings, and that's put them in cap hell. I really don't know, and I don't know what the answer is for them, but I'll tell you this, I feel bad for Sidney Crosby because he's too good a hockey player to not be in the playoffs competing for a Stanley Cup. Now, I know he made up for that on the front end of his career when he won 3 and played for 4, but it really is a shame to watch a talent like him. He had 90 points again, and he's not going to be in the playoffs. That's bad for hockey, that's bad for the NHL, it's bad for Sidney, it's bad for the Capitals rivalry. The world is better when the teams that have the biggest followings, and the Penguins are one of them, the hockey world is better when those teams are doing well. And this year, not so good, Kevin. The Penguins missed, the Rangers missed, the Bruins missed. I mean, a lot of the teams that have Chicago missed again, that's not good.
So, you know, I've asked you this before, but now that he's at 897 and he broke the record, you know, I think most of you guys have always said that when both of their careers are over, Crosby and Ovechkin, that Crosby will be ranked higher on a list of the greatest players to ever play the game. Do you still feel that way?
You know, I don't feel that way anymore because of what Alex achieved this year. I mean, breaking that record was not just, you know, a big record in the hockey world. I mean, that was a big record in the sports world. I mean, they're both going to go down as top 5 to 10 players in the entire history of hockey. You know, I think critics would say Ovi was more one-dimensional, has been more one-dimensional in his career, but that's really a product of the position he plays, right? He's a winger. He's a goal-scoring winger. He's not a center. He doesn't take face-offs. He doesn't necessarily drive play. He doesn't have the same responsibilities in the defensive zone. They just play different positions, and so it's always been hard for me to compare because it's not really apples to apples. It's not apples to oranges either. It's not exactly a straight comparison. So, and the one other thing I would say about Sidney is all the championships. I mean, Alex won 1, Sid won 3 and played for 4. I mean, that's a big difference. But I think if Obi were on a 3-way call with us, he would go, but he had all those other number 1 draft picks with him.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I think Sid had a little more help along the way, particularly early in his career. You know, he had Evgeny Malkin. You know, he had Marc-Andre Fleury. He had Chris Letang. Now, Ovi eventually got those supporting stars around him, but I feel like Crosby had those right away.
So, before we get to the matchup against Montreal and how you see it, and by the way, just how in general the odds makers see the Caps heading into this postseason overall, which is, you know, they're not very bullish. But I think I had Ted on a week ago, week and a half ago, something like that. And we were talking about sort of the need for a second cup, the pressure, you know, was off Ovi in 2018. Kind of, I compared it, by the way, Tark, to Rory at the Masters. Like, they had been carrying around this incredible weight of expectations that had been unrealized, and you just saw it in their reactions. Ovi in Game 5 in Vegas in 2018, Rory Sunday at Augusta. But anyway, it's now been 7 years since that cup, and Washington hasn't even won a playoff series. They've been ousted in the first round every year they've been in the playoffs since the Cup. Has that pressure to go deep into the postseason kind of rebuilt itself upon his shoulders?
I don't know if it's the same pressure that he had before he won in 2018, but I know he feels pressure again now, particularly with how well the team did this year. you know, he desperately wants to win another championship before he retires. You know, he has achieved two massive accomplishments, right? He won a championship, and he passed Wayne Gretzky. His legacy is secure in this game. That said, you put a second cup 7 years after you won the other with a totally different roster. The only guys left, Kevin, are Ovi, Wilson, Carlson, and Lars Eller, who came back. If Ovi were to win another championship with a totally different cast of characters, I think that would catapult him into a different stratosphere. And I know, you know, he desperately wanted to pass Gretzky. I mean, that's a really big deal for him. That was a really big accomplishment, an incredible feat. That said, he wants to win, too. And I do feel like they are under a little bit of pressure right now because of how good their regular season went, because of the talent that has been assembled around them. What I would also say is the way this team is built, almost everyone is under contract for next year, too. So it's kind of like a two-year window in my mind. I mean, you want to do it right now, right? It's not like they can go, oh, we always have next year. They want to do it right now. But that said, this team is going to look almost exactly the same next year with a couple of new players, younger players entering the fray. Like I said, that's a long-winded way of saying I do feel like the pressure has been building, but I feel like this year the pressure got a lot higher, or is a lot higher going into the postseason, simply because they were so good in the regular season. I mean, remember, there was a time 6 weeks ago when we thought the Cats might beat Winnipeg out for the President's Trophy.
Right.
They might actually get the number one overall seed. And then they kind of became Ovi-focused, and rightfully so. I mean, they wanted to get their captain to the a record that we never thought was going to be broken. And so they kind of changed the way they operated a little bit to get him there. And then they clinched the playoffs on, what, March 20th. And so then they're kind of like playing out the string, but you know, that's probably the wrong way to put it. You know, like teams that aren't going to make the playoffs are playing out the string, but for the Capitals, they're just waiting for the fun part from March 20th on. So I feel like they maybe let their foot off the gas a little bit. And in this league, and in almost any pro league at the top of a sport, if you let off 5%, 10% in terms of focus or mental preparation for a game or execution, you're going to get beat by your opponent. I mean, there's just not that big a gap between the Capitals and the Columbus Blue Jackets. I mean, there just isn't. And so if you're 5 to 10% down in any one of those categories on any given night, you can get embarrassed in this league. And that happened a little bit too often to them down the stretch. I do feel like this team is veteran enough still and has good enough leadership and you know, tutelage from Spencer Carberry, who's probably going to be coach of the year. They're going to be able to find that switch, that proverbial switch, and flip it. But you'd rather go into the playoffs playing the way Montreal is playing rather than the way the Caps are playing. But, I mean, there are so many extenuating circumstances. There are players being rested. There are some injuries. But I guess that's a way of saying the Caps better take care of business games one and two at home, because Montreal is young and fast and probably just naive enough to not be scared of the moment.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
I think your answer, which you were, you know, trying to kind of wrestle with what would happen if they don't perform well in the postseason, is the answer. Because, you know, a first-round exit would be disastrous. It really would be. Based on the regular season that they had and recent history. Like, I'm not saying that they have to win a cup this year for his legacy to be where everybody wants it to be. Obviously, a second cup with him at the age that he is, you know, 7 years after the first one, is with, as you said, basically a whole new, you know, group, would be super impressive. But the downside of getting beat in the first round for the ninth time in his career, that they have to avoid that. Have to, right?
Yeah, I would agree with that. It'd be pretty embarrassing and humbling if they were to lose in the first round to Montreal. I mean, and you know, Montreal is essentially the Capitals from last year. They got in on the last day. They had to win their last game to get in. They are the 16th seed. The Capitals are the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. Like, on paper, the Capitals are better offensively, they're better defensively, they got better goaltending, they're better on special teams, they're better in the intangibles like experience and depth and coaching. Like, they check all of the boxes. It'd be a huge upset if they were to lose.
I think they ended up with the exact same record, too, or the exact number of points, I thought I read, too, from as the Caps did last year.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, like the Caps, they also we're playing their best hockey down the stretch. And so that's what makes them dangerous. And that's why, you know, I think the Caps can't afford to think that they can go into this series and kind of feel their way into these playoffs. They are playing a young team. Like I said, is probably just naive enough to not be scared of the moment because they weren't supposed to be here. Like, their plan was to make the playoffs like next year or the year after. They're playing with house money. I hate that cliche, but it's true. They are here a year, maybe 2 years ahead of schedule. And so, and more importantly, they're playing well right now. 7-1-2 in their last 10 games.
You're worried about this.
Sure. Their goaltender's one of the best goalies during that stretch.
Is he Halak?
He's not Halak. But any goalie can lock in and be really good for a week and a half.
Right.
That said, I'll go back to what I said about a minute ago. The Caps are better in every conceivable category. They just have to play up to their standard. They have to play up to their potential. If they play up to their potential, this is a 5 or 6 game series. If they don't, oh, my God. Here we go again. So, yeah, we'll see.
We're talking to Tarik El-Bashir. All right, we'll get to the specifics of what they have to do to win this first round series against Montreal. But why do you think the odds makers are, you know, less than optimistic about the Caps' ability to go on deep into the postseason? They're the fourth pick in most spots in the Eastern Conference, and they're like the eighth pick overall to win the Cup. Why is that?
Yeah, it's funny. The Caps always are a little disrespected by national media, by national pundits, by the analytics crowd. I think there are a number of reasons for that, and I think you outlined it just a couple of minutes ago when you said they've had a lot of first-round exits, right? They've had a lot of they had that one magical year in 18. Short of that, they've had a lot of disappointment, and not just during the Ovi era, but even going back further than that. I think that works against them. I think that the way they score goals, and they scored a lot of goals this year. They were one of the best offensive teams. They rely on just having better hockey players than other teams. It's not necessarily that they're, you know, barrage of scoring chances. They have guys who can snipe. And I think the analytics crowd, they don't their numbers can't explain that adequately. And they don't have, and this is weird to say about a team that has Alex Ovechkin, but they don't have Dreisaitl and McDavid at the top of the ticket. They don't have Kucherov and Point. They have, in my opinion, and this is why, Kevin, I'm more bullish on most people about the Capitals, because the delta between their top guys and their bottom guys isn't very big. And in the playoffs, that makes you really dangerous, because in the playoffs, you're not just, during the regular season, you play on Sunday afternoon, and you got a game on Tuesday with some travel mixed in. Yeah, you're preparing for Tuesday's opponent, but you're not really drilling down on that opponent. You're more worried about, okay, let's worry about how we're playing. And oh, by the way, guys, here's what they run on the power play. Here's how they kill penalties. Let's focus on doing our process right. In the playoffs, you are like, here are the lines we think we're going to see. When things don't go well, here are the lines that Carberry then mixes things up to, and here's how we're going to shut these guys down. They really drill down on every little detail of your team game and even your personnel. And when you don't have three or four guys, okay, we shut those guys down, we're good. With the Capitals, okay, you shut down Carlson, you got Chychrun. You shut down Ovi and you got Strom. You shut down Strom and Pierre-Luc Dubois might get you. There's a lot of really good hockey players, and I feel like because they don't have those three or four guys you can just focus on just shutting those guys down, okay, we'll be okay, I think that's going to make them quite dangerous. For me, the big question mark is going to be goaltending. Charlie Lindgren is really good. Logan Thompson was a Vezina Trophy candidate until he got dinged up down the stretch. I don't really know what's up with him. I know he's been on the ice quite a bit here the last week, but I don't know if he's going to be ready to go. And what worked for this team, goaltending-wise, was that rotation, was having that internal competition, but also just keeping guys fresh. They obviously can't do that or aren't going to be able to do that if we don't know what Logan's status is going to be. So that's a little bit of a concern for me. But I would say they're off today. By tomorrow, we'll probably get a much clearer picture of what Logan's status is going to be going into game one on Monday night. If he's still kind of skating on his own after practice, then okay, well, maybe he's not going to be ready. But I think if he starts to join his teammates and start doing some more stuff, then okay, well, all right, now we might be back to being pretty solid in goal.
All right. You've outlined some of the concerns and some of the things that you like. How do they beat? Biggest takeaway if they win will be what? Biggest takeaway if they lose will be what? And then give me your prediction.
Yeah. Okay. I would say the biggest thing for the Capitals to win would be to be true to themselves, the way they played this season, which is scoring a lot of goals, playing tough man-to-man D, and getting good enough goaltending. It worked for them all year. The pucks weren't going in the way they had would have hoped, or it had been happening early in the year, the last 2 to 3 weeks. I expect that to change once they realize these are games they have to win. They can really dial in and like I said, bring that 5-10% focus, intensity, mental prep, whatever was lacking there while they were just kind of coasting, they can dial that back up. I think they win this series in 5-6 games. Where they will get into trouble, Kevin, is if they lose a game at home and then have to go on the road to Montreal, which is a big, loud, scary place.
And they'll be fired up. They haven't been in the postseason for a while, right?
Yeah. I mean, during the COVID year, they made a run to the final, but that was the COVID year. I mean, when that building is full up with 22,000 fans and they're singing their soccer-like chants, and, they know every single thing that's happening on the ice, and they react to every single thing that's happening on the ice. It's an intimidating place to play. If the Caps win both games at home and then go up there, okay, all right, they're going to figure this out and they're going to win the series. If it's 1-1 going up there, man, it might start getting a little tight on them. So I just think big picture, Kevin, I think that the Capitals would be well served by not being overconfident here, but they should also have a little bit of confidence knowing that they are the better team in every single category and should win this series, should be able to find a way to win this series. And, you know, this is meandering a little bit here, but another thing that's been impressive about the Capitals, and I think this also might serve them well in addition to the depth of the team that I mentioned a few minutes ago, is they can win in all sorts of different ways. They can grind them out. They can outscore you. They can shut you down. However you want to play, the Capitals can figure it out. You just hope they can get out of their own way and do what they did from October to about early March or mid-March, and I think they'll be okay.
Well, you said to me many years ago, the postseason, you can basically describe it in one word. Goalie. So we'll see how the goaltenders perform, and hopefully the Caps are healthy there. Thanks, Tark, very much, as always.
Anytime, Kevin.
Tark El-Bashir, everybody. A former athlete in town is still playing, which is surprising, but also got bit by something. That story next.
All right, last night, the Nats. Well, yesterday, actually. The Nats lost 1-0. Trevor Williams got the start. Pitched five innings, gave up five strikeouts, and gave up one long bomb to O'Neill Cruz. They will take on the Rockies tonight at 8:40 on 106.7 The Fan. The Caps closed out the regular season last night, lost 5-3 to the Pittsburgh Penguins. Clay Stevenson got his first NHL start and saved 33 of 38 shots. After 38 years, Lee Corso has announced his retirement from broadcasting. He will give his final headgear pick on August 30th. And the NBA play-in continues tonight. The Heat will take on the Hawks at 7, and the Mavs will take on the Grizzlies at 9:30. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, and hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1. Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream. Turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that's what's trending.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.